Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you, no matter what the cost may be. Amen. Briefly, to put today's reading in context, here's a little summary of what went before. Peter has just answered Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" with these words, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then when Peter argues about Jesus' prediction of his death and resurrection, he's rebuked and told he will deny that he knows Jesus Christ three times. This number three crops up a lot in today's talk. Today's reading I've chosen, and it's from Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will a person gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. There is nothing he can give to regain his life. For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his deeds." There is so much in this short passage from Matthew. Some of it shouts common sense. Will a person gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. And there's one for world leaders, then and now, don't you think? However, sometimes when I read and reflect on a Bible passage, it's just one word which stays with me. So today I would like us to just look at one word. The word is follow. It seems to me that the world is split into two halves: those who read the instructions and those who don't. And I fall into the latter half. And it usually ends in disaster and I never learn from it. It put me in mind of something that happened way back in 1972 when I was very grateful for the methodical work practice of my science graduate husband. We were newly married and had been bequeathed a very elderly iron by a well-meaning relative, but it had a dangerously frayed flex. Undaunted, Roger unscrewed the sole plate, and with what seemed to me unnecessary patience, drew a diagram of the innards of the iron, and only then did he take it apart and replace the flex, and the iron worked wonderfully well for years. Today's reading lists three instructions. And have you noticed that when someone is speaking or teaching or speech making, they nearly always make their points in threes? Listen out for it next time a politician is being interviewed. I suppose I must have had this in mind when I was looking at today's reading. Actually, the idea of three instructions began when I was listening to Prayer for Today, broadcast on St. David's Day. The speaker quoted what were supposedly St. David's final instructions. Here they are. Number one, be joyful. Hold on to joy in the midst of what you may be facing. Two, keep the faith. Keep hold of your faith in God when perhaps you are the only person you know who does. And three, do the little things you've seen me do. In little acts of kindness, we may conquer the world. I suppose I must have still had this in mind when I was looking at today's reading, and then I heard part of today's reading being repeated in the blessing we've been using in the past few weeks. three things that all had their basis in today's reading. So I went back and I had a proper look at that blessing, and I noticed that there were four, not three statements. Though the first isn't really an instruction, it's a necessary gifting without which the rest of the instructions will not work. The blessing begins like this. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him, and the blessing of God Almighty, etc. So here's the extra bit. Christ give you grace. And I realized what it was saying, that only by his gift of grace can we hope to grow in holiness and then, following the instructions in order, look to succeed in all those other things. That's deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Because the best way to follow instructions is usually in the order that they're arranged. Like cooking instructions or assembling flat packs, if you begin at number three instead of number one, chances are you'll end up with something quite useless. Our goal may be to jump to instruction three, to follow Christ. But first we must ask for God's grace so that we may grow in holiness. And only then may we look to succeed, not by our doing, but by God's goodness to us. Here's those instructions again. Forget self, carry our cross, and follow Jesus. So, following in order, number one, forget or deny self. What does that look like? Well, on a fairly simple level, if you have ever had the care or responsibility of another person, you will know how it feels to deny self. Those who require care have needs, and no matter how you are feeling, they must come first. It's not easy, and sometimes very hard to do willingly. Actually, I would go as far as to say it's impossible to deny yourself without employing love. There comes a point at which good intentions are just not enough. Instruction number two, take up your cross. What does that look like? Do you know, I'm just going to leave that question hanging. What does your cross look like? I don't believe we can truly know the burden that somebody else is carrying. That's between God and ourselves. And that's a good thing, I think. The deepest things, the tragic or terrible things we're able to share with God, who always listens. As an example, and not coincidentally, I don't think, one of my daughters shared this with me only the other day. She prayed about something that was making her very anxious. But on reflection, this thing seemed really trivial compared to the awful things that were happening in areas of conflict. I shouldn't be bothering God with this, she thought. And the answer came. Almost straight away, their story is not your story, and you are equally loved. So those things that we think of as a burden, a cross, we can always leave with God. When God gives us grace to grow in holiness, we can listen to other people's burdens, and through prayer have a better understanding of how we can reach out to those who are in need, finding ways to help them carry their cross. In Matthew 25, Jesus itemizes the many ways that we may help others. You'll know this. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me. However, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples about cross-bearing, it would have had a very different meaning for them. For them, the cross, or the act of crucifixion, was a reality. A Roman form of punishment intended to cause extreme pain and humiliation. What Jesus is telling them isn't just that following him may have unpleasant consequences, it may actually mean they will suffer the death of a criminal and be made to carry the means of their own death. I said at the beginning I was going to look at the word follow. So I guess it's natural to ask who. Who do we follow? This question was one which caused much dissension in the early church as people argued about who they should follow. Were they in favour of following the teachings of Paul or Apollos or Cephas? They needed reminding that the one they were to follow was Christ. And what happens when we follow someone? Following implies that there is someone in front, doesn't it? Someone who's already gone before us, a leader. We can put our feet where the leader has trodden. Whatever we have to face, we can be certain that Christ has gone before us. He knows all the pitfalls and the dangers and the best paths to take. I wonder if you watched that series recently on BBC Two about the mountain rescue teams who volunteer to help those in difficulties on Mount Snowdon. It just seemed to sum up many of the reasons we need and trust Christ as our leader. Those who need saving may find themselves stranded in the dark, unable to find their way onto the proper path. They've lost all sense of direction, and if they take even one step forward, it may end in tragedy. Their best chance of survival is to stay put until someone whose knowledge they can trust can steer them back onto the right path. With Christ's gift of holiness, we're called as his disciples to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. I'm going to finish with some words from Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 30. The Lord will make you go through hard times, but he himself will be there to teach you, and you will not have to search for him anymore. If you wander off the road to the right or the left, you will hear his voice behind you saying, "Here is the road. Follow it." Amen.